Hi everybody. Ash, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you for coming on so early and just sharing your thoughts with us and get a chance to get to know you as a person.
Okay.
So, Ash, I know you've lived in African continent. I know you've lived in Europe, quite a cross section there. And so you draw on both of those experiences. So I'm going to ask you, while you were in Africa, what was your favourite animal and why?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think we used to have dogs in our home. And so I've got to say it's the dog, and it was a German Shepherd Alsatian. And the thing about Africa is dogs are normally reared not as pets, but they tend to be guard dogs. So they end up looking after your entire home for you. And these dogs that we had were just incredibly loyal. And it was, but also very caring towards the family. And I remember mum sharing a picture with me. She'd taken a photo of me, and she could leave me for hours with the guard dog, and he would not let anybody come close to me. So it just formed a bond right from the word go. And also remember this one scene, because we used to call the dogs every evening, and you know, we'd play with them. And there was one of our dogs called Maggie, and she would always come, and we'd have this tree with beautiful flowers that would drop, and she'd always pick up a flower and she'd come over with a flower. It was the sweetest thing. So I had this real connection and bond with dogs and animals in that way. But we also used to go to the game parks as well, because my dad used to be a photographer very early on. So I enjoyed wildlife in that sense, and I was very lucky to have had the opportunity. But if it was a favorite animal, it's the dog.
It's the dog.
Yeah.
It sounds like it would have loved any intruder to death.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have bitten him. It would have loved him to death.
We were tested. That's a really good point. It started rolling around on its back.
It sounds like such a lovely, fond memory to have. Mm. I was expecting you to talk about one of the great five or something, but
you know what? They were spanning into my mind, but then the name Simba came up, and Simba is lion in Swahili. But actually, we used to call our dog Simba because he had the courage of a lion. I can tell you that. You know, nobody would come anywhere near him. He was that ferocious. So yeah.
All right. Okay. And now you're settled in Britain.
Yes.
And
well and truly.
We've got you at home there, so that's really great. I just wanted to check. I know you play a lot of sports, so we're not going to ask you to talk about that instantly. I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite thing about Britain?
What's my favorite thing about Britain?
Must be a reason, otherwise you would have gone back to Africa.
Well, I didn't, you know, if I'm honest with you, I didn't really have a choice. I was too young to make that choice. I was just told we're moving. I mean, I was born here anyway, so it just felt like home for me. We're coming back. There was a period of adjustment, I have to say, just because culturally it's just so different. But, you know, I feel really lucky to be here because, you know, you kind of go to, Britain is such a multicultural environment to be in. And you can really kind of grow in this environment. You can be accepted easily in this environment, whereas that's not so easy in Europe or in other countries in Europe. And I find Britain is very charitable as well, and I find British people very charitable and hospitable in that sense. So that was also very warming. But yeah, it wasn't anything that I thought of immediately that stood out, but it felt like home very quickly, I've got to say.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
Maybe I was here before.
Okay. Well, we know you were born here, so we can go from there. Next question. You do play a lot of sports. You're down by the sea, sure, near Brighton, not far from Brighton. So what are the sports that you enjoy?
That's a good question. The ones that I enjoy that tend to often cause me a lot of pain. So kite surfing was a good one for me. And actually, it's interesting because I faced a number of fears just learning that sport. It's a sport that is very difficult to learn. Nine people out of 10 will tend to drop out in learning that sport because it's very dangerous and there is all sorts of issues that can be had with it. But once you get going and once you overcome all of the kind of learning and you've had enough face plants in the water and you've swallowed so much salt water, you never want to go back into the sea again. Actually, just getting up on the board and surfing is just, there is no other feeling like it, I can tell you that. And it's really nice. I mean, unless it gets really choppy out there and then it just gets terrifying sometimes. And I've been in those situations, I can tell you that. But it's been lovely because it's the sort of sport that you can, as soon as there's a windy day, you know, it's easy. It's the culture here in the Southeast, you know, in terms of that particular sport, people just huddle together, get down. And actually there's a really nice community as well. So you can get to meet a good few people. On the days when it's not so windy, there's the paddleboard. So I quite like that as well. I don't do enough of it recently, and neither do I do enough of kite surfing recently because it just takes it out of the body, really, and the body is just a little bit worn by it. But now I enjoy the odd walk, funnily enough.
Stroll along the pier.
Yeah, stroll along the pier or stroll along the beach. I like a good long walk now and again, and it's this lockdown period has been brilliant because it's just given me not being able to go to the gym or anything like that. And also being in, you know, having a health condition that's easily affected by COVID. The walking has been fantastic. And I've just been doing, you know, kind of 20 to 30 miles a week. And it's just been so nice. Yeah, I just got this one route and I'm off on that route, but it's just such a lovely scenic route. Sea to the left, lawns and gardens to the right. You can't complain.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah, it is nice. It is. Oh, we're very lucky here. And I think generally in the UK, we've been very lucky because I think lockdown has given us the sunshine and not many places have had that as well. So I think it's made the whole period very bearable and enjoyable in some ways. Actually, in my case, very enjoyable.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you about what's your favorite book currently? What book are you reading right now?
That's an interesting one because I haven't read a book for ages. No, I can't say I've read a book for ages. What's the last book I read?
Okay, let me try again with another option.
Yeah,
what's the latest documentary you've enjoyed?
Okay, you know this one, The Last Dance. Now I can talk for an hour about this.
All right, but you've got three minutes.
Okay, fine. I fell in love with this documentary. I mean, I think most of the UK may have seen it, but it's about a sporting icon, Michael Jordan. He was a bit of an idol for me when I was growing up because I was so much into basketball. Very unusual because when you come here, there is no basketball culture, but I ended up playing for the basketball team at the university. I ended up following the NBA. He was a major idol. But this documentary paints the backstory of his journey. And it's so good in terms of being able to really reveal his mindset, his approach to winning, how the franchise kind of developed. And there's so many kind of, so many spiritual and wisdom nuggets in there that I've just taken so much from it, just in terms of mindset and mentality. And it's a brilliant, I mean, it's one of the most highly rated documentaries.
All right.
I actually had to write a whole page of stuff that I'd taken from it. That's how much it touched me. And I just,
wow.
I actually, and if I'm completely honest with you, I watched it twice all over again. It was that good.
It was that good. Okay.
It was that good. So if you haven't seen this documentary, you've got to watch it. Absolutely.
Any of us who haven't seen it, then it's a recommendation.
Oh, for sure.
Before you get back to work or if you have some spare time.
Yeah.
Before you're traveling again. All right. Give me one nugget of wisdom that you found that you could, that would be really practical for you.
Wow, you've really put me on the spot here now.
That is the point.
yeah, it's really good, actually. Nugget of wisdom that's really practical for me. I mean, there's so much stuff. Um, where can I start? Where can I start? Give me a moment to filter through all of the nuggets of wisdom. I think for me, I thought of Daddy Yankee, and right. Something she
said. I don't
know
how she fits in the documentary, but go for it.
No, she doesn't. Oh, so you want to hear the nugget of wisdom from the documentary?
Yeah, from the documentary.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
okay,
it should have been clearer. Yeah.
Yeah. No problems. I've got my whole list here, so let me pick one for you. So there was one particular moment, and you could see in this documentary, he was being interviewed by those that were creating this documentary. And he just basically said, my innate mentality is to win at all costs. And you could see how that had driven his attitude to winning, but also you could see how he eventually helped and changed himself to being the focus point or the focal point in the team, to being a team player that raised everyone's game. And that shift was a profound shift, actually, in the documentary. And it showed a side of him that was really determined to win, but also elevate the game of his teammates around him as well. And he did that successfully. I mean, as an individual, when you can lead by example in that way, and connected to that was his first day in practice, where he said, I had to find out who was the main man and go after him. And I couldn't go after him with my words, but I had to go after him with my actions. And so that was really powerful, where, you know, we want to assert ourselves in situations, but how do we do that? And he lived his truth, and his truth was his game. And so he had to reveal his truth in his way just by showing how good he was. And then people just naturally accepted it. Within the 2-week window, the whole of the NBA thought he was the best player ever. And he was this rookie that came out of college. So it just shows the power of really being connected to my truth and to be able to reveal that authentically without having to prove it.
Okay.
So I felt that was very powerful.
All right, so the last question then is, from what you're saying, what is the truth that you connect to in yourself that you reveal or wish to reveal even more? What's your personal truth?
My personal truth, if I'm completely honest with you, is related to being deeply honest with myself. And I enjoy that, because where there is a lack of brutal truth, I lose myself. And I can see myself distorting into feelings of anger, feelings of fear. And being deeply honest with myself is something that I've taken a tremendous amount of value from on this journey. And so that for me is the key thing. Honesty within myself first, and then honesty in my relationships and with those around me.
Lovely. Honesty. Tough one to follow through on.
Thank you. Interview over. Have I got the job?
Had the job before you started. No
right,
problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. I'm sorry to have put you on the spot.
No, lovely.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, so thank you. So before I hand over to you to do the talk, I'm just going to say to everybody, welcome aboard. This is an Inner Space talk. For those of you who are just joining now, we've been doing getting to know the speaker section. It happens just before the talk for 10-15 minutes. It makes sure that we iron out any technical problems we may encounter, but it also gives you a chance to get to know the person who's actually going to be sharing. Tonight's topic is stop worrying about the future. Ash, in his daytime job, for want of a better term, is an IT consultant. His work is primarily in Britain now, but his charity work has taken him as far as Asia. So we're lucky that he's in lockdown, because otherwise getting him is not so easy. That's for sure. So I thank lockdown for that. Ash is going to be sharing on this topic, and there's a couple of areas that we hope he will cover with us. One of them is how to stop creating, you know, that headspace of worst case scenarios that breed fear in our life. Even things that we then take into our sleep and cause us to have restless sleep. So that's one thing. What to do when you can't stop worrying? Or how to worry? What are the techniques that I can take that will help me worry less and ultimately decrease the worry in my life? And then how to focus on life right now and live it to its best. So that's what we're going to be asking Ash to explore with us. I'm handing over to you, Ash. Just before I do that, if you have questions, please do put the questions on the question and answer section of this event. And at the end, Ash will be taking questions and answers and answering those. And we will endeavor to answer as many as possible this evening. And if you have any feedback, do send it to us at innerspace.org.uk. I'll see you at the end with the questions. Thank you, Ash. Over to you.
Thank you, lovely. And really nice to be able to join you for this event. The amazing thing about lockdown is that everyone can enjoy this forum, you know, kind of the online platform. And enjoy it wearing their pajamas, including me. So I'm very thankful for not having to drive very far to be with you all. this particular topic, I feel I've, how can I say? It's very close to my heart in one sense, because I feel my entire spiritual journey, or my journey in understanding myself, has really been about getting to grips with this topic of fear. And anxiety and worry, and how it begins to manifest in my life. Before we started, I just wanted to have a minute of silence with everyone, and just calm the mind and be settled in this moment. Thank you, and Om Shanti. So for those of you who are new, this term Om Shanti simply means I am peace. And it's a very common greeting for us here in the Brahma Kumaris, because it just connects us with the quality of who I really am at my core. We have to say it's certainly a very powerful quality to have, particularly when there is fear present in my life. And I was just reflecting on this topic, actually, and I found that lockdown itself, or the period leading up to lockdown, there's been a real frenzy in the media that has potentially created a lot of fear in a lot of people. It started with, you know, kind of the spread of the virus, the impact the virus could have, and how possibly contagious it was, and how damaging it could be to the body. And then as we started seeing the spread, it kind of went into, we could see the effect it was having on the economy, and also how straining it potentially was on the NHS, and people would have worried about, you know, their loved ones getting it. People would have worried about their economic state, really, in terms of being able to go to work, whether that was going to be possible, whether they were going to stay within their jobs. So that brought a lot of uncertainty. And now I feel it's we're reaching a stage where, you know, if the fear is uncontrollable inside of us, then we will find this very much turning into a mental health pandemic, where when there is constant fear present inside of us and we're unable to deal with it or face it in any way or in a positive way, then there will be a breakdown internally. And I feel this is something that the world is facing as a crisis at the moment. And I think in recent years, it's just becoming more and more a highlight because, you know, anxiety, fear is so dominant in everyone at the moment. And I also feel that, you know, we think of fear, we've normalized fear in our lives and thinking it's absolutely fine, but also thinking that fear exists outside of us, as in it's created outside of us, and I feel it as a result of that, very much situations externally creating my fear internally. And the interesting thing about certainly my experience on this journey of understanding the self has very much been focused on recognizing that the creation of fear is really down to myself. And so understanding this process of me creating these feelings of fear allow me to take a lot more self-responsibility and begin to face it. And until we get to that point, we will only ever deal with external situations by trying to control them. And the challenging thing about experiencing fear is that when feelings of fear are ever present and particularly very strong and chronic, then actually we're heavily influenced by whatever it is that's creating those feelings of fear internally. And it begins to weaken us and deplete us systematically to a point where we're not able to be rational in our decision-making. That's clear. But I also begin to lose my confidence internally, and I feel depleted within myself. And I know that from my experience, you know, I was diagnosed with a chronic health condition. And one of the interesting thing about my journey in terms of finding it, it was all fear-based, you know, right from when I found it and discovered it. Even before the doctor diagnosed it, I'd gone up to London and I just happened to meet somebody who had a kidney condition. And immediately my thoughts were going to, I think I have what he has. I think I have what he has. And the thoughts just kept flooding in and flooding in. And I just started Google searching, which is the worst thing we can do, because we think we want to research it and try and understand it, but actually all it's doing is it's creating anxiety and fear. So it's strengthening that pattern of fear inside of me. And naturally did that for me in bucket loads. And I learned very quickly that I did have a condition that was very similar to him. And so in that came the thought process that I will follow the same path that he will take. Pretty much. And when I saw his condition deteriorate to a point where he could not use his kidneys at all, I could see that in front of me. And I believed that I would too follow that particular trend. Now, I hadn't consciously decided that, but it just unknowingly, when you're faced with it, it's amazing how fear just begins to overcome you very slowly with these thoughts. And because I'd chosen to immediately believe that this was going to be my path, as in the same path as him leading up to kidney failure, it created a profound amount of fear inside of me, but also disheartenment and hopelessness, because I felt I could not do anything. There wasn't a cure out there for it. There was nowhere to manage it. And, you know, there was just a feeling of, who do I turn to? What do I do? How do I deal with something like this? And the funniest thing is, the moment I realized that actually my entire feeling of fear was surrounded by this, or was rooted in this one thought, that I'd actually chosen to believe that my path was going to be like his. And that's what created so much fear inside of me. So I hung on to that thought, and that's when all of the feelings of fear, but the floods of thought, emerged inside of me. And when I realized that, actually, it was a real interesting moment. I just laughed at myself, thinking, how did I allow myself to think that just because it's taken that course for him, it will take that course for me? And this is where we begin to recognize that actually the creation of fear, actually, it's only up here in my own mind. And I create the thoughts that feed fear. And when I had that realization, I was just able to release myself from it completely and look at my entire journey, recognizing that actually it could be like that, but it could also be different. And there was a real sense of being pragmatic and a real grounded feeling of, let me take control and just take it one day at a time. So one of the biggest things I learned in kind of learning to accept this condition with kindness and with gentleness came with just focusing on what happens today. And I feel the spiritual path and the spiritual journey, you know, we can hear so many individuals talking about presence and the need for presence. And that is what we strive for, is to be completely and utterly present. And the beauty of this condition was it had directed me to being present, because I didn't want to worry about tomorrow. I just wanted to I wanted to focus on today and get the most out of today. And so that helped my mind focus on only the next step. And I feel this also is a secret, because when we're fearing the worst, we tend to go 10 steps ahead. And it's amazing how the mind races and races 10 steps ahead, and we have failed in our minds. And the worst possible thing has happened to us. But the reality is that those things, 90% of the things that we thought about, just aren't true. And the chances of them actually being a reality are very slim anyway. But somehow the mind makes it real. The mind takes us to that point. And I very much learned that rather than going 10 steps, just focus on the next step. And that's it. There's nothing else to think about other than the next step. And in relation to my condition, rather than focusing on, you know, kind of, what am I going to do in 3 years' time or in 5 years' time, or what am I going to do if I'm not able to work? All of those random thoughts that would come into my mind, I just decided that I'm just going to try whatever I can and just be pulled in that direction. And there was a lot of calmness at that point when I'd accepted and made peace that actually this condition was going to help teach me something about myself. And one of the things that really helped me was making this condition my friend. So not seeing it as something I want to get rid of or something I want to completely fix, but actually something that's trying to teach me something about myself. And I think when we embrace that mindset, what happens is we shift from being a victim to being empowered. And I very much feel that was the turning point for me. Because often when we experience fear and we're affected by fear, so we're feeling it, then actually I become the victim. And when I become the victim, I am being depleted. I'm being controlled by this entity. And when I become a victim, then essentially I'm not able to take control of my thoughts and feelings in any way. This entity is completely controlling the way I think and the way I feel. So I may not be able to sleep. I may not be able to eat because I may be incredibly fearful. And often we have to also be aware of the spectrum of where we sit in the fear field, because we can have constant fear, which is a very serious place to be, or we can be experiencing fear in the moment, but we also know and have the strength to be able to change that just shifting our mindset and our thought process. So recognizing where I'm on the spectrum, I feel is also important, because it just gives me an idea of what kind of attention I need to give to myself, but also it allows me to think, do I actually need support? And often when we're fearful and when we're a victim, I don't know about most of you, but I know in my own experience, I suffered alone. Yeah, I couldn't share my suffering with others. And I felt I was very much alone in my suffering, and I couldn't ask for help because I just didn't think of it. Because in my suffering, I felt I just needed to deal with this myself. And so making this decision in terms of wanting to face it and dealing with it and seeing it as an opportunity to learn something about myself is an empowered mindset. And I think when we look at this aspect of victim, then, you know, we're always in this mentality of, I want to be released from this burden, where actually the situation is trying to show us something that we can learn from it. And I think when we develop this empowered mindset, then actually we can begin to change our thoughts to be able to deal with them, but also learn and take value from the situation. And I think that's a significant point, because when I'm a victim and I continually suffer the feelings of fear and they are constant and chronic, then actually it begins to take a toll on my inner strength. And that's the first stock that I need to be able to face any situation. Maybe most of you have seen this footage, but I saw a clip recently on Facebook, and it was about a dog that had been abused, and it was under this car, and you could see it was shaking. It obviously had it was a limb broken, but it was shaking, and someone was trying to help it. But in that moment, that dog was just lashing out with anger, and just couldn't trust anything or anyone around him. And even though someone was trying to give it positive attention, he just wasn't able to trust that. And I feel that's the same for us when we're experiencing constant feelings of fear. In that sense, we don't trust anything around us. Least of all, we don't trust ourselves. And it shatters our self-confidence completely. And I think we need to grow that again. I know from my experience that fear only suppresses this natural confidence. So the confidence is there, but this haze of fear is just suppressing it. So when that lifts, my natural confidence returns. And when I see it that way, then I can actually begin to face situations and look at them in a different way. So I guess the question here was, has anyone seen someone scared dealing with responsibility? Because when we're affected and emotional and consumed by feelings of fear, we can't take responsibility. But often we force ourselves to try and take responsibility. So we're taking responsibility having been a victim. And the challenge with that, obviously, is, you know, we've all had an experience of someone fearful being in charge, and you can see how difficult it is for someone who is consumed by fear to take responsibility, right? You know, we may have been involved in teams, you know, when someone is overcome by fear. It may have been ourselves, you know, and we know that in that space, we can't think clearly. And also, it's amazing when somebody is in a fearful state, but is trying to take responsibility, they can't trust their decisions. And that vibrates and radiates to people around them, which means those around them can't trust them as well. And it creates a sense of unease around everyone around you in a very short space of time, because they're vibrating these feelings of fear and radiating them. So there's panic in there, there's uneasiness, there's a lack of trust. And all of a sudden, a team dynamic can change completely just based on, you know, someone experiencing fear but trying to take responsibility. And it's the same for us. You know, when we try and take responsibility as a victim, we are being fueled by fear. And actually, when there is fear, there's only going to be doubt and a lack of self-trust in my decisions. So I won't necessarily make the right decisions. And I think one of the most empowering things that we can really say to ourselves is that when I'm affected by fear, I'm not ready to face the situation that I need to face. And I feel that's such an empowering perspective, because it allows us just to drop the reins of what we're trying to control, any expectations that we've created in our life, anything that we think we need to fix, just to park it. Because what then happens is there's almost like a surrender to it. And I think whilst we're resisting it, it just grows and grows in tension and frenzy inside our minds. But when we begin to surrender to it and just say, it's okay, that's okay, I'm not ready to face it, but that's okay, that's when change really begins to happen. Because all of a sudden I can now focus on myself and restoring myself. And when I take that level of self-responsibility towards my thoughts and feelings and recognize that fear is my creation, then actually I focus not on what's on the outside and trying to fix what's on the outside or trying to control what's on the outside, but I actually spend time just calming the mind and restoring myself back in a very kind and gentle way. And there's a way in which we can do this step by step, but I feel that's a place to start, a recognition really that it's okay that I haven't got the energy to face because I'm consumed by feelings of fear. Yeah, so that situation can wait. But it's also very good that I take responsibility for what's happening here that's depleting me again and again and again. And this is when I take responsibility, it can come in different ways. You know, we may even say to ourselves, I need help. And often we don't necessarily see that when we're completely consumed by fear and we don't necessarily know how to ask for help or what to ask for. So understanding that for myself, that fear is the creation of my own mind and my own thoughts, helps me to really be kind to myself. And that is what we respond to. Just as, you know, like that example I was sharing about that dog under the car, when that dog was eventually developed some level of trust towards someone who was trying to help it, the love and the kindness that was shown quietened that dog completely. And that dog had just put his hands in this human's hands, you know, and he just kept on looking up at this human at every cost. So when he was taken to the vet, and it's the same for us when we're fearful, you know, we don't need force. Or we don't need anger on us. What we need is gentleness, kindness, and care. You know, we need to be able to put an arm around ourselves to say, it's okay. And that's the biggest act of kindness that we can give to ourselves, so that we can release ourselves from burden of continuing to suffer. And I think that's the first step to dealing with fear. I also feel that we live in a world that has so many information sources that breed fear internally. So when I'm on this path of recovering myself, it's really also very important to ensure that I'm not feeding the mind information, either through the media, either through conversations I'm having, that increase fear inside of me. And, you know, it may sound like a very simple thing, but actually we do it unknowingly. You know, it's so habitual to flick on the news and to listen to these stories that at a subconscious level, at a deeper level, is creating more and more fear inside of us. And then we talk about it. So we're then sharing those vibrations of fear, and anything we talk about or share in that way only increases inside of us. And this is such an interesting law when it comes to how we work with energy. Anything that I give grows. Anybody done a kindness experiment? You know, you kind of give way to somebody and literally the person you've given way to when you're driving automatically gives way to somebody else. Yeah, a kind act returns a kind act. So it propagates, so it increases inside of us, and we want to do it again. We want to do it more. And it's the same for all of the negative feelings as well, that anything we share increases inside of us. And the more these patterns and patterns of thought and emotions are triggering off inside of me, then the more it's increasing inside of me. So somehow I've got to break that cycle. And one of the ways that we can break this cycle is to disrupt it completely. Because when we're locked in this mode of fear and experiencing fear, and we can't release ourselves from this particular situation, our days go in a particular cycle. And our thoughts follow patterns, significant patterns. And before we know it, days go by and we're just doing the same thing, repeating fear in our minds, repeating the same thought patterns. And the most important thing we can do is to shift our focus away, because it takes a lot of power to create energy. We know that it takes power to create energy, whether it's negative energy or positive energy. And we're creating negative energy in the thoughts that are manifesting in our minds. And it's literally depleting our power. But actually, if we shift that inner power towards creating positive thoughts, yeah, the conscious creation of positive thoughts, then actually within a short space of time, we will see that we feel better, because we're breaking a cyclical pattern of thoughts. And I feel there's a secret in there. You know, we tend to run positive thinking courses at the Brahma Kumaris Center. So you may have come across them at Inner Space. And the first week's practice is affirmations, is to speak to ourselves positively. And the most important thing about creating these thoughts is you're not creating thoughts based on what is happening now. You're creating thoughts about what you want your reality to be, and that's the most important thing. So we find affirmations that are helpful for us so that we can repeat them to ourselves. And you know, we're all vibrating at an energetical level, and where this global pandemic has created such a wave of fear globally, we're actually in a period of time where there is a low vibrational energy around us. And the best thing that we can do to protect ourselves from the negative influence of that collective energy is to increase the stock of positive, high vibrational thoughts. So low vibration thoughts are thoughts that are fearful, that are stress related, that bring me down. And often we can be in the company of others and feel low vibrations coming from them that make us feel down about ourselves. But if I fill myself up with high vibration thoughts, then actually that changes. It creates energy in the self, and it allows me to increase my stock of strength. And often we can't face situations only because we just haven't got the strength to be able to deal with them. And when my stock of strength begins to rise, then actually the situation is there, but it no longer begins to affect me. But when the situation is at a low point, which is here, and it's affecting me and it's brought me down to here, then actually I'm clashing with the situation constantly. And there was a famous quote by Einstein. I can't remember. I think it was Einstein, that you can't address a problem from the same consciousness that it was created. And that's exactly what it is. We have to elevate our consciousness and raise the vibration of our thoughts, so that as we raise the vibration of our thoughts, then our feeling of well-being increases internally. Our feeling of how we see ourselves and how we feel about ourselves changes. And now we can start looking at this situation, but with a different lens. Yeah, with a lens of being more detached. And by detached, I mean more observant. And when you're observant about a particular situation, there isn't a reaction internally. You're just seeing it for what it is, and then you're able to deal with it on a rational basis. You can decide this is the right thing to do or that is the wrong thing to do. And that your discernment really begins to work when I'm able to detach. But actually, in order to detach, I actually need to uplift myself. So speaking positively to myself and thinking positively to myself is the first starting point to raising my energy levels to feel good about myself. And then I can shine the torch on whatever situation I need to at the right time. And you will know when you're ready for this intuitively. And I know in my spiritual journey, when I've tried to take control, and even just in my journey of life, if I've tried to take control as a victim, actually my decisions just haven't worked out. And I remember this one time when I was interviewing someone for a sales job, and he came in and he sat down and he was incredibly nervous. Now this was, you know, you understand when somebody's nervous coming to an interview, but there was a different level of fear in this individual. Needless to say, the interview didn't last very long. And my attention turned more towards his well-being than the interview itself. But the interesting thing is, when I'm trying to take control of situations in my life where I feel like I need to do something, but actually I'm contained with fear, then that just carries. Yeah, we cannot be ourselves. We cannot be authentic. We can't reveal ourselves with that smile and that spark. And so restoring myself has to be the way. And one of the easiest things we can do to kind of change routine, and I think this does require some level of attention to bringing about a routine that can just break the pattern of those fear thoughts emerging and the feelings of fear emerging as well. And one is that often late at night, I will spend a lot of my time worried. I can't sleep because of it. And so when my eyes eventually close, the last thing that my mind has absorbed is this state of worry and thoughts of worry. So when I wake up, the first thoughts I will have will be of worry. And that's then what sets the seed for my day. Whatever I start my day with, literally at the point I open my eyes, will be the basis of how my day goes. And breaking that pattern requires me to inject new thoughts at the start of my day. And this may feel alien, but like I said, it's really about creating thoughts about what I want my reality to be. So if I'm experiencing fear, then and I'm losing confidence and trust in myself, then maybe one of those thoughts can be, I am a confident, fearless soul, and I completely trust myself. I trust every decision that I make. And this is me creating thoughts about what I want my reality to be. And this is powerful, because no sooner is your eyes open, and even if you need to write it down, literally take that sheet of paper and read it to yourself, read it a few times over. But that's the first thing you do when you wake up, because at that point, you're injecting not the thoughts of worry that are streaming in your mind, but something that is going to disrupt all of that. And disruption is the agent for change. Where there is disruption, the blocks of change will just take place. And within a short space of time, you will feel the difference. I often see that when people come back after that first week of positive thinking, so it's a four-part series and we have it every week, I always ask for feedback, because I know what the response is going to be if people have done it diligently. And those who've done it diligently, the first thing they say is, I actually feel quite calm about myself. I don't feel too bad. Things have changed. It's not as heavy as it was before. So just being able to apply the right type of thoughts at the right time. And it's so simple. We can do this for ourselves. So thoughts manifest our reality. Just as fear begins to manifest our reality, thoughts, you know, positive thoughts will begin to manifest our reality and just ease the heaviness that fear is creating. And I think that's the most important way that we can start to deal with it at the surface level. Yeah. Another place or another thing to do as soon as I wake up, and this is something that all of us can do, is often it's easy for us to pick up the remote control or open the newspaper and turn on the TV first thing in the morning and just allow the whole world to come into our minds. And if it's not the TV, then it's social media or something or another, because it's habitual. Breaking that pattern is so important. And if we can just change what we're viewing, that will make a big difference, because what I'm ingesting in the mind is creating my emotional diet and it's feeding me. So if I'm able to listen to a meditation commentary, now I think meditation commentaries are two in ones. Yeah, they're a brilliant resource because you can achieve an experience in a short space of time that can really uplift the self and charge the self. And when I start my day with meditation, so the Brahma Kumaris, you know, some of you may be aware, but we start our day very, very early. And the first thing we do is positive thoughts and meditation. And that allows the mind to absorb peace and experience its natural state of being. That is what creates energy that will carry you and just change everything throughout your day. When I start my day peacefully, then actually I begin to look at situations through the lens of peace. So those two practices can really help us disrupt the patterns of thinking that we can get locked into when we're deeply fearful. And so I feel that's something simple and very practical. And that will actually eventually have a knock-on effect to the quality of my sleep. There's another practice that I would recommend, but much further into, maybe 4 weeks into kind of doing this, or 2 weeks into doing this, if you've been doing it every single day. And this is writing. And I feel writing has been, you know, journaling for me has been such a lifesaver. It's allowed me to process my emotions and give expression to what's troubling me deeper within. And I feel that at times when I've written, there's so much clarity that tends to come out. And it's a bit like developing a relationship with yourself or with somebody. You know, I know in the world of sales, when you try and get to know someone, one of the first things you do is ask them questions. And it's the same for ourselves. When we're trying to get to understand ourselves, we just have to ask ourselves questions like, what's bothering you? You know, what's creating heaviness inside of you? Why do you feel heavy? And just write and be open to completely just unloading your feelings and focusing on your feelings, not your thoughts, because a lot of our thoughts come from our feelings, funnily enough. If we experience a tremendous amount of anger in our feelings, then our thoughts will be thoughts of revenge, thoughts of wanting to hurt others, and it will just come in floods. So writing about my thoughts is something we can do later, but initially, where there is a tremendous amount of feeling, focusing on writing and just allowing those feelings to kind of emerge on the page. So effectively, you know, the heart space, and I use the term heart because that's where deep feelings are felt and experienced. You know, the pen becomes an extension of your heart. You can just write freely and just see what comes out. And often when people have tried this, having done a meditation practice and disrupted their routine for a couple of weeks, they see a deeper level of understanding within themselves, but also a release that just helps them again be so much calmer about themselves and the situations that they're facing. So I feel practically just injecting that routine in itself will slow down the thoughts so I can control them. And it will allow me to realize that the problem isn't that big anymore. And it will allow me to see solutions where I haven't previously seen solutions. So naturally I will worry less. Yeah. And if I stay diligent with that process, there will be such a great understanding inside of me about myself. And that's what fear is really trying to teach us. And this is where we can address fear at the surface level. And at the surface level, it's very essential because sometimes we may need medication. Sometimes we may need professional help. We definitely need an injection of positive thoughts and be able to direct our thoughts at that level. But at a root level, it's really about understanding the type of fear and where its sources lie. And often we will see that a big part of people's journey, you know, much deeper into the root level, is releasing past experiences, because often we project our past into the future, which is why we can't be present. And when we're carrying the baggage of our past, a lot of our fears emerge from that. But that is a different topic in itself. But certainly in terms of being able to deal with fear initially, if I'm consumed by it, the practical things that we can do so that we don't emerge the worst case scenario is to focus only on the next step and focus on what happens today. And that's it. Leave everything else to one side. Only what happens today. That's the first thing. The other thing is change of routine, where I can disrupt my thought patterns by injecting first thing in the morning a positive affirmation or a set of positive affirmations, followed by a meditation commentary that uplifts and energizes me. And then if after that I want to listen to something, then listen to something that brings wisdom, so something that creates inspiration in the soul. As much as we can, you know, surround ourselves with high vibration thoughts and individuals that create high vibration feelings inside of us, or environments that create high vibration feelings inside of us, the quicker we will raise our energy and also begin to see our fear not as a threat anymore, but as a means to learn and grow something about ourselves. So I'm conscious of time, and I feel this is probably a good step or a good point to pause and perhaps have a meditation commentary, just so that we can digest what's been covered today. So just sit comfortably in your chairs, and let's take a deep cleansing breath. So deep breath in, hold, and release. And then breathe normally. And as I focus on my breath, just bring your thoughts into this present moment. Nothing matters but this moment, because this is where my life is. And in this moment, let me create a thought that I am a being of peace, and that peace is my natural state. And let me just hold this thought in my mind and repeat it within. I am a peaceful being, and peace is my natural nature. And as this thought begins to deepen inside, just connect with this feeling of calmness, inner calmness, and inner stillness. And when there is quietness in the mind, I can choose to create thoughts that are helpful and beneficial for me. And I recognize that I am the creator of my thoughts and feelings. And so where I feel fearful or anxious about anything, let me tell myself that I am the creator of my thoughts, and just choose a different set of thoughts, thoughts that begin to uplift me, thoughts that create positive emotions and feelings internally. And in this way, the mind will obey and it will strengthen. The mind strengthens when I can create thoughts that are uplifting for the self. And when there is strength, I can be less affected by situations because I'm able to control myself. So let me choose to create positive thoughts, to only ingest positive, high vibration thoughts for a period of time. And this will break any cycles of fear internally and allow me to take control of myself. Shanti. And thank you.
Thank you, Ash, for the talk and leading us into the meditation. That was very beautiful. There's a couple of questions. I know we don't have long, so very, very quickly. The first question that you can answer very quickly was, did the dog that you talked about recover?
Yes, full recovery. And I love these videos because they really show the journey. And yeah, full recovery, happy dog. It couldn't even be contained after that. It was just boundless energy and enthusiasm from it. So yes, full recovery. Should have mentioned it. Thank you for reminding me.
Okay. Next question. How does one distinguish between ignoring the thing that is causing the fear and burying one's head in the sand?
Sure. So the discernment really is that it's not the external thing that is responsible for my fear. And I think this is the discrimination that we need to have, which is that it's my thought patterns that are creating the fear itself. And when I'm able to recognize that, then I'm able to recognize another thing, which is what is the impact that this is actually having on me energetically. And I have to gauge that for myself. I think we know intuitively when we have energy and when we're ready to face a situation and when we're not ready to face a situation. And so by taking care of ourselves, I don't feel that that is burying your head in the sand, because sometimes it can feel that way by ignoring what I think I need to deal with, because it's a thought. The thought says I need to deal with it, but actually internally everything inside of me is saying I haven't got the capacity to deal with it. So I have to listen to my inner calling that says, actually look after yourself first, uplift yourself first, and then you will have the energy and the strength to face whatever you need to face. And it's funny, you know, when we're strong enough to face situations, we can tolerate them. And once we can tolerate situations, we're not easily affected by them. That means the situation is still there vibrating, but it no longer begins. It doesn't press my buttons like it used to. It may still, you know, kind of get in certain holes, but that's a really empowering way to begin to address the situation, because now I can see the situation as not as something I need to be released from, but actually something I can progress through. And what is it that I need to do to progress through it? So I hope that in essence answers your question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. If loved ones are consumed by fear and are asking you to buy into it, how do you respond without creating a separation between yourselves and them?
Yeah. This is a really common one. And often, again, we don't realize that when I'm sharing my state of fear with somebody, I'm actually vibrating it towards them. So they will leave me feeling very low. And this is something that, again, as an aspect of self-responsibility, that really requires us to say, I need to protect myself from these vibrations. And that's only a positive thing, because if I find myself regularly exposing myself to individuals that aren't ready to change, there are certain individuals that will change and they will listen to you. But if they're not ready to change, then actually we have to create distance. And there's nothing stopping us from creating good wishes and you know, kind of being very specific in our thoughts to send them good wishes so that they can raise their energy levels. But we have to, in the first instance, take the conversation more to a positive standpoint where they can recognize that they can learn something to change themselves. And if they're not picking up on the positive aspects of your conversation, they're not ready to change. And so they're only leaning on you for emotional dependency. And this is dangerous, because when someone is in a relationship with you and there's emotional dependency, then you just become the place where they dump their garbage. And often it takes, you know, self-respect for us to see that and say, no, I'm not going to be that point. And that's a really positive thing, because you can be straight with people and really willingly help them. But if they're not prepared to take help, then also there's an aspect of really looking after ourselves.
Okay. I think you've answered this question, but you might have another point you want to add to it. How can we support or guide or advise without intruding or being overbearing when someone else is suffering from acute anxiety and fear?
This is a good point. So there is a subtle difference between having hope for somebody that they get better and having a desire for them to change. When I have a desire for somebody to change, then I will want to try and control that. And this is very subtle in the self. You know, we don't sometimes realize how controlling our nature is and how overbearing it can be, because we want them to change. But on this journey where we recognize that everyone's following their own path, everyone's got their own story, and everyone will change according to their own time, in their own way, through their own realizations, we can have hope, never lose hope for them. As soon as we lose hope for somebody, we're giving up on them. And those vibrations reach them and they will give up on themselves. And the first thing that we have in our armory, particularly with those we're close to, is to hold on to hope for them. And I don't mean I'm hoping that everything's going to be okay. No, that's false hope. I mean good wishes towards them. You know, really create time in your meditation to send vibrations and positive thoughts to them, you know, affirmations for them, you know, may they be protected, may they, you know, may they experience peace, may they not experience fear, you know, so we can find a way of compassionately reaching out to them. And the beauty of this is it only increases inside of us, the more we're able to direct positive energy within somebody. So there's a double benefit to it. They will be the recipients of that. We will be the recipients of that.
Okay. How can you park fear about something and look after yourself when you are hurting?
I think the point here is the accurate use of that term, hurting. When something is in pain, or that example I was sharing about the dog, when that dog was in pain, the only thing that would help it besides surgery and was love. And I think we've forgotten how to love ourselves in life, because we carry the weight of the expectation of how we should live this life, how we need to be, how others need to see us. We carry so much, and that creates so much fear inside of us. But when we're able to find a space inside of ourselves that says, I don't want to suffer anymore. And there's a realization point. We don't have to get to rock bottom to have that. But there can be a point inside of us that says, actually, I am really hurting. I can see the impact and damage this is doing. So I need to focus on myself, because I'm no good to anybody as a result of that. And so just that realization that when there is hurt, there is a need for healing. And healing starts with kindness. Healing starts with gentleness. Healing starts with thinking nice things about myself. Yeah, because in that moment of hurt, we lose all value within ourselves. We can't see any good in ourselves. So the first talk that we need to have is to begin to see value in ourselves. See the value in your life. See the positive things that you've done. See, appreciate. Gratitude is an amazing way to uplift the energy, because we don't see any of it when we're consumed by pain. So the glass becomes completely full of that poison of pain that doesn't allow us to appreciate anything. And if the first thought, if you're hurting, then the first thought in the morning is about gratitude. That will change the feeling you have for yourself, and it will uplift you as well.
Okay, I know you have to go, so I'm going to ask this simple question. What documentary were you discussing earlier?
Yes, The Last Dance. So this was a documentary about Michael Jordan, and he's a popular, you know, icon in the world. He was a sporting figure that played for the Chicago Bulls basketball team in the NBA in the US, and it really portrays his journey. And there was a moment actually very related to fear on this that I'd like to share with you before we close off. Give me 2 seconds. I've got it just here. There was a quote about a writer in that documentary. And he basically said, when the camera was on him, most people struggle to be present. People go and sit in ashrams for 20 years in India trying to be present, do yoga, meditate, trying to get here now. Most people live in fear because we project the past into the future. Michael's a mystic. He was never anywhere else. His gift was not that he could jump high, run fast, shoot a basketball. His gift was that he was completely present. And that was the separator. I mean, that was amazing point in the documentary, because there's so much that you can take from a mindset. And you can see that, you know, when we're in big pressure situations, we carry the weight of expectation on our shoulders. But he was in big pressure situations and he never carried any of that weight. He was light as a feather, jolly with people around him, but incredibly focused. And when he hit the floor to play his game, and it was a dance, people used to call him poetry in motion. Even if you're not a sporting fan or basketball fan, watching this documentary should definitely raise the hairs on your back. So definitely watch it. It is high vibration stuff in my eyes.
Lovely. Ash, thank you very much for carving out some time for us.
No, thank you for having me. Not a question of time. Thank you so much for inviting me and allowing me to be part of this. So yeah, enjoy yourself. Everyone stay safe and hopefully connect soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Good night.